Ladies and gentlemen, we'll go ahead and start our drinking water board meeting this afternoon. We're appreciative to the Rural Water for inviting us to once again come down and be part of this conference. It's a wonderful opportunity. We'll go ahead then and have our roll call, please, Marie.
Paul Hanson.
Here.
Betty Nyler.
Here.
Brett Chenwin.
Here.
Tate Flint.
Here.
Roger Friedel.
Here.
Brad Johnson.
Here.
David Sackerson.
Here.
David Stevens. And Mark Stevens. And we have a quorum.
Very good. Thank you. Moving on our agenda item, we'll move to number three, the approval of minutes to the board. We have minutes from January 13th. Any comments to those minutes?
One very, very minor correction. On page five, if you go to the water infrastructure finance and go to the 80%, changing the by to be, that's all the corrections I have.
Any other comments? I'll entertain a motion then on those minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
I have a motion by Brett.
Second by Roger.
Second by Roger. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Very good. The motions are approved as grammatically corrected. I should have asked. Is that
yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
Very good. Let's move in then to the Financial Assistance Committee report. Betty, if you would please take this portion.
Okay. For our first item, 4A, the status report, Michael.
Good afternoon.
You're not on.
There we go. All right. I am an engineer. Okay, state loan funds, state program as of January 31st, 2017. We have a balance of all funds of $5,748,000. Over the course of the next year, by January 31st of 2018, we're expecting another $4.6 million into the fund for a total of $10,414,000. Number of interest for the board is the total remaining hardship grant funds, the last number in the purple, $219,176. That is an improvement of $518,000 over the December 31st number. At December 31st, that number was $737,000 in the hole.
Still a deficit.
So we're now at $219,000 in the hole. So we have received some influx of interest payments on our loans. So we are still going to be exceeding careful on what we authorize out of the state fund.
And you forecast that we'll be taken care of by the end of the fiscal year?
Very likely, okay. But I'm not sure. By this time next year, at the latest. Okay. As the note says, we do receive about 80% of our payments in January. So, but they do trickle in at various times throughout the remainder of the year. So we will be receiving some additional payments into that fund. However, I don't know that it will be $200,000 worth. Next page lists some of the communities we're working with on different projects, planning projects, construction projects. Any questions on any of those that are listed on the second page? Moving on then to the federal program. As of January 31st, 2017, we have $25,908,000 in funds. Over the course of the year, we're expecting an additional $18,300,000 to come in for a total of $44,208,000 in the federal fund. $46,000 less than was there December 31st. We were almost $250,000 in all of that point, so we did receive about $146,000 in interest payments that went, not interest payments, sorry, hardship grant payments that went into that particular pot of money. Next page lists, again, the projects we're working with, different water systems we have out there. Any questions on any of those projects that I can try and answer for the board?
I've got just a couple, Michael. It's just timing, kind of a project update. We've got two of them that were authorized back in May of 2014.
Yes.
We've got Cedar Point, Big Plains, and we've got Central Iron County Water Conservancy District. Are those moving forward?
They are. Those are both aquifer studies and well siting studies. As I understand it, the field work is done. We're simply waiting on a report to come into staff for review on those.
Thank you.
The other one of interest for the board is the West Erta Improvement District. It was authorized in November of 14. I can't remember if I brought this up at the January meeting, but they have finalized their project. They have received the necessary public support and are now in the design phase and are moving towards loan closing. So we should have that one closed April or May, I would think, and be able to move forward with getting West Erta underway.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the federal program?
Seeing none, Michael, we can move on to the second item on our agenda, the project priority list.
Yes, thank you. We have three new projects at the project priority list. Rocky Ridge Town scored 35.6 points. Their project is a new well, chlorination facility, SCADA system, and a new transmission line. Torrey Town scored 24.8 points. Their project is a new water line and replacement water line. Cove Special Service District scored 12.5 points, and their project is a new well, a new 300,000-gallon tank, and water lines. The Financial Assistance Committee recommended the Drinking Water Board approve the updated project priorities.
Any questions from the board at this time? I'll accept a motion.
This is Paul. I'll make a motion that we approve the updated project priority list.
I'll second that.
That was Brett?
David.
David, okay. We have a motion by Paul and a second by David. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Project priority approved. And now moving on to the applications. We do have one application under the state funding. And Rich, that one is yours for Tropic.
Betty?
Yes.
I'd like to declare a conflict of interest on this one where I'm employed by them. And
okay, let the minutes reflect that Brett has declared a conflict of interest and will not be participating in the discussion for Tropic.
At least on this side of the table.
On this side of the table. Okay, Rich, go ahead.
Yes, the town of Tropic is looking to do a large planning project. They're looking at getting a new master plan, GIS mapping, and water rights study. Also included is a reservoir siting study, as well as some irrigation coordination. This latter part would come from a water resources grant of $70,000, which they've already received, although contingent upon your funding as a loan for the remaining $70,000. Their MEGI is over the criteria, as well as the project water bill, so they do not qualify for grant, which would actually hinder the water resources funding. So the Financial Assistance Committee recommendation is that the board authorize a $70,000 planning loan at 0% for 5 years to Tropic for their new water system study.
And Rich, did I understand you to say that Water Resources has approved the $70,000?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. You got to pull your microphone closer to you, so.
Yeah, that's a grant. They have received that.
Okay. And will you introduce yourself?
Mark Wilson with Sunrise Engineering.
And Joe Phillips, also with Sunrise Engineering.
And do you
need an introduction?
No, I just.
And do you have, gentlemen, have anything to add to this?
No, it's pretty straightforward. This is a pretty large request. We recognize that, but for master planning, we have an opportunity here for Tropic Town to be able to potentially put some water that is not being used during the winter that it beneficially use. And so one reason the Board of Water Resources is really excited about this, that you don't even have a program for this kind of a funding, but they made one for this, but it is contingent upon this board approving the other half, because theirs is a 50-50 match. And a lot of that is reservoir siting, reservoir feasibility, and some water rights works that is necessary on that side of the aspect. The other thing is coordination between two entities, the town and the irrigation company. There's going to be quite a lot of that. We recognize that. Much of that is going to have to come later, but we're excited. We're anticipating a great spirited debate when we get to that point. But that's all.
I have a quick question.
Okay, just a couple of questions here. I noticed that according to the population growth, in 2020, the population is going to be 676. How many connections are actually in the town of Tropic? Do you know? Residential, commercial?
Right around 200.
Around 200? Okay. And I do have to compliment them in reading the material. They say their current water bill is $34, and in our financial analysis, it's saying that only $22.92 is needed, so apparently there must be a little bit of contingency fund there somewhere. So
I understand that they've known that they've had some needs, and they've raised their rates in preparation for the needs. Is that right?
The packet is pretty self-explanatory on the project. But I know that reservoirs can be concrete tanks, or they can be open reservoirs. Which are you proposing for this?
This is an open-air secondary water reservoir. Yes. The connection between that and drinking water is that over in the winter, they have spring water that they have rights to year-round that just drains down through the drainage in the Colorado River. If they have the ability to capture that and utilize that in their existing secondary system, then the water that is part of the secondary system that comes out of the spring can then be traded back to the town for culinary use. Wow.
And is this the first time that this the scope of this project has been looked at? Or has there been previous planning or master planning?
There was a previous reservoir siting in the early 2000s for this very reason. My understanding is that probably isn't the best site for the... We haven't started the project yet to determine the proper site for the reservoir, but the locals tell me that that's not in the right spot anyway.
And did you say that it probably wasn't the best site, or you're still looking at the same site?
We'll consider that the same site, and if it ends up that's going to be one of the alternatives, and if it ends up that that's the site, then it'll be a much quicker and much less expensive process.
So at this particular time, the town of Tropic does not own a reservoir site.
So Brett, correct me if I'm wrong, but they do have, the town of Tropic does not. The irrigation company has a small reservoir site that is not large enough for the purposes of this, of capturing that winter water.
Okay, and in our packet, it doesn't tell us how the town of Tropic is going to repay this loan. I know that there's an $11.28 difference in what is needed and what you're already collecting. Is that the source of payment that you're going to rely upon to pay back this loan?
So the idea here would be that it would act as a planning advance if there's a project that follows up. And if not, then it would be repaid over through the money that they... Part of the culinary water study is a water rates analysis, and so that would all be rolled into that rate analysis to determine how to repay that.
Okay, so you have considered that in to repay the $70,000.
Yes, that would be.
Any additional questions from the board? Yes, Marie.
Have you confirmed with Water Resources that our loan is sufficient for that 50% grant? That doesn't have to come directly from you.
Yes. They actually called us back and said, we believe that we really can't fund this because we need to have some skin in the game from Tropic. And when we describe the makeup of the Drinking Water Board loan, that if they do a project, then it would be rolled into the project, which would be paid back for a loan, but it really is the skin in the game. They came back and said, okay, we agree to that. That's good enough for your 50% match. So yeah, we did ask that specific question.
Can I ask that, please? On the water rates study piece of this, are you including conservation tiered structure for the water rate study?
Definitely. I believe we're required by state law to do that now.
Any other questions from the board?
I had one more just for clarification for the record. Rich, I think when you were doing your introduction, you were saying that they qualified for assistance because their median adjusted gross income was low and their water bill was high. The water bill is actually below the 1.75. Is that correct?
Yeah, I may have misspoke. They do not qualify for grant.
They do not qualify.
In fact, if we gave them grant, we wouldn't get the water resources. So it has to be low.
But it's because the water bill is below the 1.75%
right.
that they don't qualify.
So they do
okay.
not qualify.
I think there was just a twist there, and I just want to make sure the record was clear on that. So, and the other questions I had have been addressed, so thank you.
Any other questions?
Is the reservoir going to be large enough to be open for recreation, or is that going to be a private reservoir?
So that's all going to be part of the study. As we look at the reservoir sizing, that will be taken into effect. There was some whispering about having some large mouth bass, the ability to catch some large mouth bass in the valley. So all that will be dependent upon the feedback that we get from the citizens, and of course, whether or not there's a way to pay for any extra costs. So that'll be part of the study.
And then my last question is, I know you, part of this project is to get some GIS mapping and the hydraulic model. Is there staff on board that can carry that forward from that point, or is that going to be a consulting function from this point on?
So we've actually told the town that they think that they might have some electronic version of that. if they're able to find that we can use and reduce that cost, we'll do that. But right now, this is starting from paper copies and infill and bringing it into GIS.
So once the hydraulic model is made, will that be available to the city of Tropic? And do they have somebody there that can run that, or will that always be like a consulting function to go get that model?
I think if they wanted to and wanted to learn, Brett's pretty sharp. He could probably learn how to do that. We never hold back that information from the clients. So if they want to do that, they're welcome to it.
Awesome. Okay. Paige?
The application says there's work to be done in dealing with the irrigation company going forward. How much discussion has there been so far? How do they feel about this?
So we've actually already had our first meeting with them. It was about 3 weeks ago, a month ago. And it went very well. The irrigation company is 100% behind it. Of course, I would be too. That right now they're not asked to put anything forward. They're ecstatic. They wanted this kind of project for a long, long time.
Thank you.
Yes.
How much of the 2.5 cubic feet per second are you capturing right now, and how much is going down to the Colorado? Do you have that information?
You capture it all.
So right now, Brett just said that we'd capture it all. That would be the plan afterward. If the reservoir ends up being feasible and we build the reservoir, then we would capture the entire amount, either use, concurrent use at the time, or stored in the reservoir for later use. But right now, about 6 months of the year, that is not being used.
So does the irrigation company capture some of this, or is this just Tropic's?
So they share the source, and the irrigation company does capture a little bit of that in their equalization pond, I guess I would call it. But they're actually saying that there are times during the summer where everybody's cutting, but they actually overflow and lose water that way too. So this reservoir would be very helpful in that process.
Okay. I'm just a little concerned. If there was a planning done back in the 2000s, and that was not followed through with, was it because of funding? Or I don't want to duplicate something that's already been done.
I understand, and I don't know the answer to that. I got to turn to Brett for the answer.
Jones and Mayo done this study early 2000s that identified three of the sites. Jones and Mayo done this study in the early 2000s that identified three different sites for the reservoir. One of the sites that Division of Wildlife was going to put money into, that site would require to pump the water in the summertime from that reservoir site back to where you would utilize it in towns. It was going to be expensive to pump it back out there. The site that they settled on is on private property, and the property is not going to be, it's not going to be really cheap to buy. It's going to be quite expensive property. Does that answer your question?
I just don't want to duplicate something, but you have clarified one thing for me. There's the possibility of three sites then.
Yeah, they identified three different sites. One site was on the school trust land property. The other two sites were on private property.
So. But this study is not limited to those three sites. You'll be looking at others as well, and that's the purpose for the new study.
Okay. Do we have any other questions? Okay. I'll accept. Yes.
I've got a quick question. It might be for Michael. Why is it proposed that this project be state funds as opposed to federal funds? Do we have a limitation on taking this from the federal?
the state fund because two reasons. First of all, it's a municipality, and so they qualify for the state fund from the get-go, and there's no subsidy required. And so, as you heard earlier, we have no subsidy left in the state program. So with it all being all loan, it made sense to go state rather than federal. That's a brief, quick answer to that. They would have qualified under either program, but we, as staff, we like to use the state program for the smaller systems and smaller projects if we can, especially those that don't need that subsidy.
Michael, while you're up there, could I ask you? Okay, this in here is a 0% interest loan, and some of them are 2.6% interest loans. What makes one qualify for no interest and somebody else 2%?
In this case, it's 0% because it's a planning, and all of our planning loans go out at 0% for 5 years. So that's just policy that the board has adopted for many, many years. And that's the only reason that this one goes out at 0%.
Paige, you have one other?
I'd like to make a motion that the board authorize a $70,000 planning loan at 0% interest in 5 years to Tropic Town for the new water system study.
Have a motion, a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion by Paige, a second by David. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead with your project then.
Yep.
Okay. Next item on our agenda comes under federal funding, and it's Rocky Ridge. And Rich, this is yours also. Invite anyone to come up. Please introduce yourselves. Marianne, are you able to hear most of this that's going on? No? Okay.
She is getting it.
Okay. Make sure you're talking into the mic, because we do record this.
Do you
want to
introduce first?
Yes, go ahead. Introductions.
Casey Reynolds with Rocky Ridge Town. I'm the system manager.
Mm-hmm. Eric Franson, Franson Civil Engineers.
Jeremy Allred, Rocky Ridge Town Water Operator.
Jerry Allred, Rocky Ridge Town Water Operator.
So Rocky Ridge Town has an application for a new well and a transmission line. The estimated cost of the project is over $1 million. They scored 35, almost 36 points on the project priority list. Their local MGI is 73%, so they do qualify for subsidy. Also, their water bill is over 3%, so they also qualify there too. Their calculated interest rate is 2.49%, and that is the recommendation. The Financial Assistance Committee recommended that board authorize a $1,011,000 in funding at an interest or a fee of 2.49% for 30 years with 405,000 in principal forgiveness, where the repayable amount would be $606,000.
Okay, and before we move on, Marianne, will you make note that Brett has rejoined the board at the stand? I failed to do that before we introduced you. Okay, anyone like to make additional comments?
From Rocky Ridge Town, we appreciate the consideration for this and the benefit that it would be to us in being able to obtain a second source. I appreciate the board's taking us.
I'll turn the time then to the board for questions, discussion.
Just a clarification.
Clarification, Marie.
I see in the board packet there's a reference to 2.0%. Is that just a typo, and do we need to fix that? Do these go into the public record, or is it just based on what's voted? It's on the cost allocation page, estimated annual. So that's showing a 2.0% calculation. And Rich, you said it was 2.49?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we need to make that correction on that page. I missed it. Any further discussion or questions from the board? Seeing none, I'll receive a motion.
I'd make that motion, Betty, to authorize $1,011,000 at an interest fee of 2.49% for 30 years with $405,000 in principal forgiveness. The repayable amount would be $606,000.
And a second?
Second. Roger.
Roger. I have a motion by Brett, a second by Roger. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Can I just make a comment? Thank you for taking one of our higher point systems to a better place. So thank you.
Thank you.
The next item on our agenda is Torreytown and Lisa.
Present the request from Torreytown. I've got Doug Robinson, Torreytown Council member, and we have Kelly Crane with Edson Engineering, and I'm sorry.
Dustin.
Euler operator?
Yeah, the operator.
Thank you. So we're here today to present the financial request from Torreytown to fund upgrades and repairs to their spring transmission line, to install pipe within the town to loop the system, and to replace their gas chlorinator with a tablet feeder coordinator. Torrey is also bringing $15,000 in local contribution, and they intend to go to CIB for an additional $510,000 to fund this project. Torrey's Magi is at 65% of the state's median adjusted gross income, and they also have 37 financial consideration points, so they would qualify for subsidy. As staff was preparing the financial cost analysis for this, we tried to approach the board's affordability criteria of 1.75% of MAGI. So when we were preparing this financial package, we first extended the term to 30 years. After that, when that was still above 1.75%, we started lowering the rate, and that's where we came up with the 0.75%, which the Financial Assistance Committee recommended at the last board meeting. However, earlier today, the board has, or the town has requested to revise their request to include $152,000 to be added to the $1.7 million that is in your packet. That additional money is to repay an earlier existing drinking water loan that they have. So earlier today, we were able to run a quick financial analysis. I apologize, it's not in your packet. But because of the number of users Torrey has, and the, don't want to say a small amount of money, but proportionally less than 10% of the total package, it didn't really affect the percent of Magi of their rates. So I do apologize that that's not in your packet, but we were able to run the funds. So
you have run those numbers?
Yes. Michael and I did that earlier today. So. But the intent was to ensure that the package we were presenting to the board was affordable to the town. So rather than the $1.7 million, Torreytown is asking for $1.852 million at 0.75% for 30 years.
Okay, will the board please note that change in it? $1.852 million. Any comments?
Would you like to make a comment? I'm Doug Robinson, I'm the town council. And Torrey's kind of a unique place in the fact that we have a tremendous influx of tourism just has recently developed in the last probably 5 to 10 years. So the result of that, it's made it so that we're servicing a lot of hotels and cafes and other businesses that support that tourism. And we're finding that we're running out of water. In fact, we're basically to the point where we can't supply all of our needs. And so that's stopping some of the growth that the tourism is expecting. So this will help us to meet those needs. And so that's why we're basically trying to upgrade the system.
Well, I see most of the discussion here is about repair, not looking for additional sources to meet your need.
Well, additional sources are included on that. That was my understanding.
It's an exploration of the additional source. That should be, it should have been included in your packet.
Do you have the water right for that? If you're exploring it just to see if there's more, do you have sufficient water rights?
Yeah, I would agree. They own most of the water rights in that basin that issues from springs into that area. So there would include a change application to move for additional source sites. But that's it's on Forest Service ground. So this really, we're attempting to repair the transmission line that is in need of repair. We're worried about it every spring. But also we wanted to explore into what might be available up there. It's not a significant amount of the project. The majority of the project is that repair, but we are looking into the possibility of additional sources. They do own the water rights, but everything comes down that drainage.
If you find that you can't get the additional water out of that source after the exploration, Are these new pipes, larger pipelines and distribution, are they going to be in the, coming from the right place, or will you be coming back and looking for another source and then tying those in?
No, the water that comes down the mountain right now, just to go into more detail than maybe you want, but it currently is undersized for the water, for the sources that we have. And so a significant portion of our water actually is being dumped into a stream in order to accommodate the size of the pipe. So we're losing about 30, or we're estimating, this is watching it shoot out into a canyon, but about 30 to 40% of their current water that is issuing from their springs is being lost and not even making it into their water system. So the sizing of the pipe will accommodate for that, and we have increased it a little bit more for any additional springs that might be developed over the next number of years.
Further questions?
A couple, if I may. First, again, just as a comment as to the boards and the financial assistance committee recommendations, there's many tools we have to help bring that cost in line. One is principal forgiveness, interest rate reductions, and the reason that the Financial Assistance Committee kept the interest higher rather than doing principal forgiveness was because it goes to our hardship. I mean, that helps get us out of the hole, so it's important that we maintain some interest to be able to keep the system viable and moving forward. This is a federally funded project, which has certain additional requirements for record keeping, documentation, materials. Are you comfortable that you've adequately covered all of those additional costs in this estimate?
Yes. As you know, we've dealt with that issue in the past times and worked with the board on how to take care of that.
Okay.
We feel that we've covered that in this estimate.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question. Lisa, you mentioned they were going to pay off an older loan. Who was that loan to, or to from?
It's to the...
From us.
It's a drinking water board loan.
Yeah, that's what she was saying, is it's not in the packet, okay. But it's something that they're bringing back. It is It is a fund that was through this board in years past. And we have, as a matter of policy, refinanced some of those older loans with board approval.
Okay.
So it would not be the first time.
Okay.
But it's still up to the board.
Question?
Yes.
But maybe this is for staff. With a high transient population that's talked about by the council, how's that factored into the MAGI calculation?
I'm not sure that transient
I suspect it's not.
Yes, we get it from the tax commission.
I just can't remember that kind of an explanation in the past, Michael. Is that, what do we do with that in terms of the reason for expanding the system is to meet a transient visitor type population, and yet.
The repairs to the system will benefit the whole system. So it will benefit both the residential consumers and the commercial consumers.
Right. I'm talking about the increment that's in that's additional infrastructure.
The additional capture of the source, the way we looked at it as our evaluation was moving forward, and the way we looked at it for CIB as well, was as an added benefit to the project in the first place. To get the get their sizing up to par so they're capturing the water and not wasting it, getting it for beneficial use for the residents and for the commercial businesses.
Okay. So it's just an encouragement, I think, as much as anything for the town. It would seem to me that the water rates methodology will be important here in terms of making sure that the part of the population is transit coming in now to get their fair share of that,
right.
The incremental cost.
Yeah, we will definitely work with the town on water rates and recommend that their engineer work with them to establish rates that are reflective of a proportional share to the commercial entities.
Okay, thank you.
Are you capturing transient room tax and all those things that tourist towns?
Well, unfortunately, most of those businesses that I spoke of are only in the water service district. They're not in the Torrey town, so those taxes are going back to the county.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. We have a problem.
Yeah, you do.
Lisa, were you aware of this additional request before it was just mentioned then?
I met with Kelly Crane this morning.
Okay.
For that additional request.
And were you aware that the request included siting of new sources?
I was not. I did not include that in there, so it either was not in the application or I must have missed it.
But it
really was a minimal part of that. It was the repair was the big portion of that. Siding was really hiking up, verifying locations of wet spots, things like that.
As the motion has suggested in our board only covers, or in our minute, our packet here, only covers transmission lines.
There is a section for engineering, other, and surveying. Would it have been included in that? So there is $20,000 in the budget for engineering, surveying, and other.
I added up the cost of engineering and went, wow, $400,000 for engineering in this project.
This is a very unique project, by the way. The site that this line comes down is, it starts in a place up on the bench above on Thousand Lake. It comes down through a canyon called Hell's Hole. It's collected there. There are traverses that take place there where the pipeline is stretched over large canyons. There's a very large amount involved with this project. It's built
ready, I'll make a motion that we authorize a loan of $1,852,000.
Correct, yes.
As modified and as analyzed by staff today, as a loan at 0.75% interest for 30 years to Torreytown to fund the upgrades of their transmission lines and other work items described in their packet.
Please.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. I do have a motion and a second. Motion by Paul, second by Paige. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Next item on our agenda is also covered by Lisa, and that is for Cole. If anyone's here representing Cole?
Should have Randall O'Gray.
Okay, if you will introduce yourselves, please.
Hi, I'm Robert White. I'm on the water board and I operate.
I'm Randall O'Brien. I'm president of Coast Special Service District. I'm also a certified water operator.
If I can talk.
Can I introduce a little bit about our system?
One more to introduce. Sorry. We have to have it on the record for minutes.
This is Kelly Green.
Okay. All right. Let Lisa present your project and then we'll let you talk about it.
So Cove is requesting $1,085,000 in financial assistance for well exploration development to upgrade and repair their existing well and to construct a new 300,000-gallon tank, including as well as installation of 1,000 feet of transmission line and 16,000 feet of distribution line. Cove is also planning to request $510,000 grant from CIE and are bringing $16,000 as a local contribution. Cove's MAGI was 71% of their MAGI, and they only have 72 connections over which to spread any potential debt around. Cove does qualify for subsidy. So once again, staff targets the 1.75% of MAGI affordability. And in the case of Cove, the recommendation was a loan of $1,085,000 at 0% for 30 years, with a repayable amount of $600,000 and $485,000 as principal forgiveness. And that was the recommendation from the Financial Assistance Committee. No lasting changes.
Okay, the gentleman wanted to explain some things to us.
Thank you for your time. Our system is kind of unusual, at least we think. We're longitudinal. We're about 4.5-5 miles of houses here, there, everywhere. We're made up of a farming community, basically. All of our board members work other places. All of us are volunteer. Morgan and I both took off time off our paying jobs to come down here and keep our water certification up. But what we're looking at is we want to be proactive. We had two wells at one point in time, and with communication with the water department, because of high arsenic, radium-228, 226, and uranium, and after taking four tests on a quarterly basis, we decided that we needed to take that well out of system. And so we're looking at the future and trying to be progressive in keeping that in mind. And if the one well went down, we would be in trouble. So thank you.
I'll answer a question, but I don't want to talk.
Okay, I'll let you have a question then.
Oh, thank you.
I like your current water rate of $17.
I like it too.
But will your 72 residents like the raise that's necessary to cover this and that up to $45.72, an increase in their monthly water bill of $38.72. Have you had discussion with those 72 connections?
Yes, we have.
And they're favorable to this?
They're open for it. Nobody likes it, but they also understand that we have to do something.
Any other questions?
One thing we plan on doing is after we get the proposal from the drinking water, and then also we're going to see the CIB, we're going to have another meeting, because my grandparents always told me you can't get blood out of a turnip, and we do have a diverse community. We have retired people, we have people that work out of town and come back and live, and we're diverse. We're under the umbrella of the county. The only thing that ties this community together is the drinking water. All the bills generated get paid from revenue that we do bring in. We've tried to be progressive in such ways as reconditioning the old motor on the well and being proactive that way. We have extra setters, we have extra meters, we have an extra fire hydrant. So we've tried to be proactive and being ready, but we also realize we're not big enough financially to just, here's the money. That's why we're here, and we appreciate it.
Okay. Questions from the board?
Good one. Your proposal has you putting in 6-inch pipe. Why would you put in 6-inch? Does it meet your fire flow?
Okay.
Or
the 6-inch is just from the point of the well to the new tank.
Okay.
All new piping has to be 8-inch. So if you add even 800 feet, it has to be 8-inch. No 6-inch new line can be put in.
So this is your pump. This is your pump line, not your.
Yeah, this is the service line from the well to the tank.
Okay, thank you.
Additional questions? Seeing none, I'll receive a motion.
I'll make a motion that the Drinking Water Board authorize a loan of $1,085,000, 0% interest for 30 years with 485 principal forgiveness. The payable amount will be $600,000.
A second, please.
I'll second it.
Okay. I have a motion by Roger, second by David. Any other discussion?
Just one question. How much more money are you seeking from the CIB?
Say it one more time.
How much more money are you going to be seeking from the CIB? What's the total cost of this project, in other words?
$500,000.
Okay. The total project is $1.6 million, so $510,000 from CIB.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to the vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, under other business, we'll turn the time back over to Michael for an update on Hanksville.
Yes, I just wanted to make the board aware that Hanksville Town is in need of some additional funding. They came before the board, I believe it was September, and received some funding for some new lines within the town. Since that time, one of their tanks has started leaking, and they're also becoming more concerned about the arsenic in their existing well. We are currently in discussion with Hanksville, with their consulting engineer, and with some technical assistance providers and equipment providers to come up with a reasonable treatment process for the arsenic. And so as soon as we have that information put together and are comfortable with both the treatment process and the costs, if the timing is right or not right for the next board meeting, we'd like to call an emergency meeting with the board to authorize some funding, particularly for repairing or replacing the tank as is necessary. depending on the situation, I believe that they're looking at just replacing the tank rather than repairing. But the engineers will be looking at that a little more closely, and we'll have additional information for that. I just wanted to bring that to the board's attention. There's nothing the board needs to do today, except let me know if they're amenable to an emergency phone call at some point in the future. That I really have no, I don't have a date yet. We were originally going to try and do it within a couple of weeks, but after discussions with the town yesterday, we decided to hold off. Like I say, if we can put it off until the May board meeting, we will do so. If we get back with the information we need, I'd like to call an emergency meeting with the board, maybe sometime end of March, beginning of April, if that's okay with the board.
Do we have any opposition to a teleconference call on this? Seeing no opposition, go ahead, Michael.
Very good. We'll proceed. Thank you.
And then additional item on... You're not done yet.
I'm not done yet. I'll sit back.
We've had one other item added there under intended use plan.
The intended use plan, of course. I've got the intended use plan.
But, Michael, maybe before you go into that longer discussion... Under other, we can bring up other things just for informational purposes, just to let the audience know. We had Cedarview Montwell at our last board meeting, and we canceled that or tabled it until this meeting. Obviously, they're not here.
Not ready.
Not ready.
They're still discussing and trying to identify exactly what they would like to do. They haven't made that decision yet. So.
All right, your intended use plan.
The intended use plan, yes. The intended use plan is something that staff prepares each year. It basically explains our sources of funding, what we intend to do with those funds. It includes our most recent project priority list. Sandy Pett prepares that for us and does a fantastic job. We appreciate all that she does on behalf of the SRF program. Again, this is informational for the board only. There's no real board action required on this. This intended use plan will be posted on the division webpage and available for public comment in compliance with the Safe Drinking Water Act and SRF program requirements. And as soon as our comment period is over, we will then be submitting this report to EPA, basically just to explain how we run our program here within the state.
Having received these intended use plans before, I think it's very, very important that the board read through these. It gives you a lot of understanding of where we're going and outlook for the future. So appreciate the preparation of this, and like I say, encourage the board to read page by page through it.
Especially if you need something to help you sleep at night. No, Sandy does such a great job with this. I want to recognize her with the board at this point. That I really appreciate all of her efforts in this report. Also, she does our biennial report. Every 2 years, we have to submit a biennial report back to EPA. The IUP is, as it says, it's an intended use plan. It's how we intend to use the money. The biennial report then goes back and says how we used the money over the past two fiscal years. She prepares that for us as well. She prepares all of our drinking water, national information management system, our PBR. She does all of our reporting for us, EP, as far as numbers and dollars and cents, and helps me stay in line with our funding and what we have and what we can use. So, just want the board to know how much I appreciate Sandy and what she does for us in the SRF program.
And not only Sandy, but the board appreciates the efforts that the staff brings to us, because what can I say? It's great.
Thank you.
I'll now turn the time back over to Chairman Paul.
Thank you, Betty. Moving on to item five, Patty, I'll invite you up. This is on the revised total coliform rule. If the board remembers, there were some modifications that were made to the rule in terms of reporting. And so this will be an opportunity for Pat. I don't see Colton here. and come in, did he? He's here. I've seen
him. Call us on a tour with our EPA representative.
Oh, good. Keep him distracted and busy also. That's great. Good move.
Exactly.
So, Patty, we'll turn some time to you on this. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. We just thought, since this was the board meeting that where we finalized the rulemaking last year, that we'd give you a brief update, kind of a precursor for a report once we have implemented the year, the rule for a full year. So we're 10 months into the rule, and wanted to let you know how it's going. We feel we're actually implementing this rule better than any other state in the country. We've got a database that we're tracking it fairly well, and what we have as far as assessments, and just as a brief reminder, the assessments are in one sense take the place of the one of the violations that we used to issue under the old rule. So the non-acute quality violation, the one where there's no E. coli present, if that situation occurred, it would trigger a level one assessment instead of a violation. As long as the systems conducted the assessment, went out and looked at their system, tried to find the problem, then there would be no violation. Okay. If they detected any E. coli, that triggers a level two assessment. Kind of looking at the same things, but the difference being a third party, i.e. the division staff, where our district engineers would go out and look at the system with independent eyes to see if they could find a problem and follow up that way. So our numbers on assessments, we conducted, our systems have conducted 102 assessments over the past 10 months. And 62% of those are on systems that previously had monitored on a quarterly basis as opposed to a monthly basis, because that's one of the things where we were a little bit more stringent than the federal government on small fraction systems. We've triggered 40 level 2 assessments, which is higher than our expectations. When we looked at our data over the past 10 years, we expected to trigger 20 of those, and we've triggered 40. And 70% of those have been triggered on systems that have previously monitored on a quarterly basis instead of monthly. So from a public health standpoint, I think you guys did a good thing in supporting that monthly monitoring for everyone. I mean, that's a good step forward. For seasonal startups, we've had, now it's classes time, sorry for the small print. We had 283 that were submitted electronically. We're trying to push everyone towards electronic reporting. Makes our life lots easier dealing with the data. One of the things, interesting things we found out on that is 43% of the systems tell us that they're using bleach for their initial disinfection. And we're gonna look at some additional training this year to make sure that it's just not Clorox off the shelf at the store, even though Mountain Fresh scent is pleasant. We really need to use the NSF certified Clorox for that. So we'll look at increasing our training for those systems and making sure that that happens well. And just to let you know, we're also, Rachel and is heading up an effort with our QCR rule manager to put together a manual for level two assessments. Because we've had double what we expected of those, and we'll have more this year, we're looking at expanding the skill set of individuals, both in our office and in local health departments, to perform those, and they're putting together a manual to do that. And some of the case studies that we're using are some that we found in Utah, and one of those is a system that triggered a level two assessment. Our staff went out and looked at the system. They found a tank where they had algae growing on the outside, and it's kind of your picture there. The system has since fixed the tank. They filled in the cracks, removed the algae, and so far so good. They haven't had any more positive samples. So the whole public health intent of this rule is to get operators out looking at their system whenever there's a positive sample, to identify what might be the cause and fix it. And you know, that's one success story, and hopefully we have many more. So it's a preview of our bigger report that we'll give you after the rule's been in place. We have till the end of this month, and then the processing time, we'll sandwich that in a future board meeting for you.
Thank you so much. If the board remembers, there was quite a bit of debate on this from the public, concerned about what it would mean for them in terms of cost and other things. And I don't want to characterize it as ecstatic joy among the interests, but I've actually heard from a couple of systems that did find these elements in it, and they said we never would have caught it. We never would have known. So, again, I take that as a positive for what we did to try to help them protect their users for safe drinking water as well. So, thank you, Patty. Okay. Appreciate that very much. Well yeah. done.
So we'll weather the storm, and hopefully these will diminish after the first year.
We'll do well. Thank you very much. I'm moving on to item 6, authorization on the adoption of rule amendment. This is R309-535-510. We will present this. The board remembers we started the rulemaking back in August, and Tammy will get here, but it came back the first time we put it up for notice with comments, and they were substantive enough that we sent it again. So now we're back on this rule. So thank you.
So the changes, we submitted those, I think, in November. That was the last board meeting for those. And it has since gone through public comment again, and there have been no additional comments. And so we're coming to you today with the one from November to ask for that to be authorized to be put into the rule and be effective on March 7th. So this next week. Are there any questions on that rule? I know you've looked at it several times, so I don't want to belabor it if you don't have questions.
We did have public in the back, but kind of hard on listening. Explain what it is.
I can explain to you what the rule.
Give the Reader's Digest version. Yeah.
So the fluoridation rule is actually part of the overall alternative treatment rule. It's just one subsection of it, so we're just updating that portion of the rule. And when it was originally put in place, it happened when Salt Lake and Davis County decided to impose fluoridation there. And it was done with haste because of how it happened so fast. And over the years, while we have noted that there are deficiencies in that rule from a safety standpoint, and while most people are designing to that now, our rule has never been updated to include that. Some of those things include secondary containment or having a day tank, some of the safety features of personal protective equipment, and the differences between liquid or powder, and some of those have been further defined. So it's just made it clearer as more than anything on what's gone on.
Very good. Any comments or questions from the board on this issue?
Just as clarification, then this in terms of MCL, there's I think it's 4 milligrams per liter MCL on fluoridation, but we defer to the counties to set their suggested feed rate, correct?
Absolutely. In fact, this rule has nothing that we don't require fluoridation. This is just if they choose to fluoridate, right, and the recommendations, and as far as what we're seeing, the counties generally do that. There are a couple of systems outside of Salt Lake and Davis that do choose to fluoridate, but there's only two that I'm aware of.
Just as for editorial purposes, fluoridation is for a wholesaler that resides in several counties in the north, including Davis, remains a contested item amongst the population. You get lots of input from both sides, and as an operator, it is of a wholesale system using fluorosilicic acid, not the powders. This is a difficult task for a couple of reasons. It's a nasty chemical, number one. The second thing is, in our case, we are serving several counties out of single facilities that now have to fluoridate into one county and prohibit it from going into the other county at the county line. And so this is just for your edification, this is a difficult application at best for wholesalers.
Not a mandate of the state, though.
No.
let's be perfectly clear. This is a county by county.
County by county, yes. No, I. That's good to be reminded of that, though. That's going on. Any other comments to this issue? hearing none, I'll entertain a motion then to the adoption of R309-535-5.
So moved.
I have a motion by Tage.
Second.
And a second by Betty. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes unanimous. Thank you very much. Tammy, we're going to keep you there if we can and move on to item number 7 to an update on the after the fact review policy.
So last board meeting, I think a draft proposal of this was presented to you. And in summary, it is policy, an internal policy that we've chosen to put some kind of formality to. We do not want to put it in rule because it's not something we want to encourage systems to do, but from time to time there comes into place where a system, whether it has been non-public and it's becoming public, or we find facilities that have been unapproved that need to be improved, we come across those and how we handle them. We wanted to formalize it so it's uniform across the board. So it's not actually going to be put into rule, but it is a policy so that we can handle it the same no matter what. So this is, you saw the draft policy, not a lot has changed. In fact, I don't know that anything has changed from the draft to this. I know there was one question from last time about deficiency points on a facility and the exact number. And the rule actually states it's 52 to 100, so depending on the severity of it, it can be, yeah. Usually it's assessed the 50, but it can go up to 200.
One of the things that I appreciate about this policy is that it gives a lot of discretion to staff, to our director, to be able to look on case-by-case basis and see how things come to play. So thank you. It's good to have a policy. My question is whether we need to do anything on this. Is this a board action or is this just an awareness?
So
we leave it. We leave it administrative.
Okay.
Are there any comments from on the board? Any other feedback on this policy? Very good. Thank you. We appreciate you helping to put that together, Tammy. Mr. Dell, would you please step up? And we again want to thank you for inviting us to be a participant in this conference and give us an update on what we've done in the last couple days.
I'll be brief, just a few things. Of course, as every year, thank you for being at our conference. It's an honor and a privilege to have members of the Drinking Water Board here at our conference and then to have this meeting held here at the conference. I think that's an important aspect of what we all do, because I hope most of you have seen that this is becoming one of the premier events in Utah's water community, and they are, you know, there's a lot of people here, so you all being in attendance is a big part of that. I can't give you any real exact numbers on attendance because there's a lot of people here, but we're somewhere around 2,000 people in attendance at this conference. We had 198 booths in the exhibit hall. I hope you got to get in there and wander around in there. Town of Randolph this morning won the best tasting water in the state of Utah. Your new director was able to participate in a number of our events. Thank you, Marie. She spoke briefly at our keynote session, was with us at the banquet last night, and most importantly, was a taste test judge. By the way, Fox 13 at 5 o'clock will do something to this on the taste test. Well, never knows. So thank you so much for helping us. I really believe and wanted to make certain that Marie was introduced to our operators and managers and all of those people. I think we accomplished it. We got that start. We got a good start. I think most of you probably know that Dr. Peter Babat, who's the administrator of the EPA Office of Groundwater and Drinking Water, was here in attendance at our conference. It was kind of a big deal for us. I hope you all had a chance to interact with Dr. Babat. He's part of that Washington, D.C. hierarchy that has a little bit to do with how we run our lives. And I asked Dr. Babat to attend simply because I felt that he needed to see how things work in Utah and how things work well in Utah, the drinking water industry. And I truly believe that his eyes were opened at this conference. So I think, once again, we accomplished that. I got to spend time with division personnel, and I think that was a very good thing that we were able to do. I also need to give you a quick report. As you know, a little over a year ago, the division gave money to our association to buy some equipment to help with energy conservation, primarily leak detection. And I believe when I reported to you last year that we were kind of new to it. We hadn't done a lot yet. This year we've had quite a bit of experience using that equipment. We've worked with the city of Fillmore, picked up a number of leaks there, worked with Central Iron County, which was not a successful initiative. Their connection points too far apart, so can't correlate on. We've worked with Marble Hills, Garden City, where they found a mainline leak with the storage reservoir, ran water and sewer just down by Moab. Apparently they had a service connection. I can't imagine my old water system had a service connection.
It's your fault.
Probably was my fault. I probably put it in. And if they had just called, I'd have told them where it was. But they found it. We worked with Tropic and Honeyville, where they found two leaks. One was about 15 gallons a minute, the other around 5 gallons a minute. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but for a system that may have a source capacity of 100 gallons a minute, that could be huge. Wellington City, several leaks were located and confirmed, and we've also worked with Meadowview Ranch, where they found a 5 gallon leak. And then, in addition to that, we've had requests and kind of on the list to get to Bear Lake Water, Escalante, Green Hills Water, Buena Vista, Hooper, Ogden, Jensen, Manila, Salem, Elk Ridge, Delta, Nephi, Hinkley Town, Grantsville, Monticello, Swan Creek Village, Roosevelt, Salina, Mount Pleasant, Lehigh, and Draper Water are all on the list to be working with. So I just want you to know that equipment is being used. It's being used successfully. There was a little bit of a, and still I'm assuming is, a little bit of a learning curve on the more you use it, the better you get at it. Let's put it that way. Jake Wood, who is one of our Arctic supervisors, and one of the primary operators that equipment. Jake's really getting into that. We're also using that sewer camera to help a lot of, or it's not a sewer camera, it's just a pipeline camera, to help with a lot of the spring issues that are going on. Springs that have root problems and different things. We can go in and identify what the problems are inside the springs and stuff. So that's also been very helpful. We're also looking, we've got a little bit of that money left, and Michael and I are in discussions on how to spend that. I'm hoping that a year from now we have maybe a video presentation. We're talking about a drone. Honestly, it's no longer a joke. It's a real thing. A couple of years ago it was a joke, now it's not a joke. We're thinking that there are a number of things we can do with the drone. And a couple of different kinds of cameras where we can identify leaks, we can do a whole lot of things. We can inspect tanks, we think there's a whole bunch of stuff we can do with that. I'm actually kind of excited. I won't fly it. I'm not going to get in trouble.
So we don't need insurance on it then? It's okay?
No.
Okay.
But that's what we've been doing with that. I just, and once again, as always, the interaction, the association that we have with you all, you know, the friendship that we have with you all, frankly, quite apparently. Yeah, it's more than it is. So thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Yeah. Just a comment on the drone. I know Utah State University has quite an extensive program and research lab looking at use of drones. But they might be able to tell you which hobby store to go to buy one.
Well, we've actually used that. You know, it's funny because when Michael and I started talking about a drone, like say, a year and a half, 2 years ago, maybe, it was just kind of a joke. Yeah, the other one's a drone. But there are now a number of state associations in the country that have purchased drones, that are using them, that are using them successfully for a number of things. It's you know, it's actually a pretty fascinating technology. And used right, we can do some, I think we can do some new things. I've seen papers that back this up by using infrared cameras or heat sensitive cameras. Wintertime, you can find leaks because the leak is warmer than the ground. Summertime, you can find leaks because the leak is cold. And they're actually, you know, it's actually easy to do this. And I'm kind of excited about that.
It's one of the best tools our agency has acquired in the last decade. We use it constantly on all sorts of assessment type activities as well. You know what's best for it, Dale? It's right-of-way encroachment. You can fly your rights of way on coordinates and see if it's being protected or not, or if someone's encroaching on it. It's a great tool.
So yeah, I think some, you know, pipeline inspection. There's just a myriad of things.
I think you just found a conference topic for fall.
We've got lots of great video.
Anyway, once again, I've taken up probably more time than I should have. But thanks so much for being here. Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
Dale, before you leave, you need to know that both Paul and I had the opportunity. Both Paul and I had the opportunity of speaking with your doctor from Washington, D.C. about EPA. So we took that opportunity while he was here and appreciate you bringing him here so we could speak face to face with us and find out our problems.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, it was one of those opportunities that came to us.
Sure. Well, thank you very much, Dale. And please give our appreciation to your staff as well. So,
thanks.
Very good. Moving on to item 9, our directory support. It's good to have Marie Owens with us. It's been a pleasure to learn from her already and see her leadership. So, Marie,
thank you.
Some time to you.
All right, the first thing I want to do in this part of the agenda is award Riverton City. So, we have Dan Dippo. Are you coming up? All five of you, just come on up. As they're coming up, we have looked into our database. We have a system where we assess points if there's any deficiencies in a system. So if they have problems, they get various points, monitoring violations, MCL violations, all of those give them points. And there are just a handful of items where they can get credits. And so those credits, they can get points taken off their system. And Riverton City is the lowest points system that we have in the state with a negative 33 points, which means there are no deficiencies and they have done pretty much everything possible to get all of the credits. So negative 33 points, Riverton City, you're doing a great job. So we have somebody to take a picture.
Let's just take a photo up here for a second.
Tied at negative 30.
Awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Great job.
Cool. It's awesome.
Good job, guys.
Thank you.
Nice to have a neighboring much. City.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm in West Georgia.
Oh, awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That is a real accomplishment.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You got a cord dragging here behind somewhere.
Please don't have a beard. What's the deal with
it? I know. I'm just a meter reader.
The best one around.
Thank you, Riverton, for all that you're doing. It takes a lot of effort. As Patty mentioned, we tried to look at maybe a second or third place system. And we had so many systems that were a tie behind them that we weren't able to do that. Just for the board's information, we have over 1,000 water systems, and we have about 480 water systems that now have negative points on our systems. So we've got a lot of systems that are doing a lot of great work.
Could we possibly recognize those other 100 in some way, shape, or fashion?
480.
Or 480. Wow.
Each one of the systems? I am not certain what we're going to do, but we can send them out a thank you letter for what they're doing. That would be a great idea.
He's mean. He wants you to sign all by hand.
Oh. Individually. Thank you, Michael. The next thing I want to report on, we have about 20 of our staff that have come down to this Rural Water Conference, and that's a significant part of our staff. And what we have been able to accomplish by having this amount of staff down here is, as of this morning, we had nearly 100 appointments that our staff had met with various water agencies. We have met on the RTCR sampling site assistance, about 60 different appointments with those. DBP assistant, we've done 140 CCR assistance appointments.
That's great.
We've met with source protection, operator certification. We've had 122 appointments just asking about the master report, so the main report that we print out from our system. People having questions about what it means, small errors that need to be fixed, and we're able to do that live down here. So Dell has set us up with a room. We have an internet connection. We have consultation areas, and we've been able to do that. We've also had some consultations on backflow engineering and lead and copper metals public notice. So there's a lot of work that gets done down here. We're able to contact a lot of systems in a really short amount of time and make personal connections between the operators and our staff. So it's a great opportunity.
I think that's a compliment for how far we've moved forward, because I know years ago when I came on the board, it was, you're the big bad wolf. We don't want to meet with you. You know, the wolf's knocking at the door. And it's nice to see that that has turned around now to where we aid and assist rather than being the big bad wolf.
Well, and the great thing about these consultations is we don't set them up for them. These are all systems that come to us and ask to talk to us. So when we need to contact somebody, we do that in the moment. These are systems coming to us down here.
But they're not afraid to come.
Not afraid. And then the last item was just kind of an overview of my first 6 weeks in this position. On the second day I was in this position, I began presenting to the legislature for our appropriations. We got our base bill passed, and so the funding is the same. We're good to go with that. However, the building block that the governor put in his budget to encourage systems to install AMI meters when they would come for other construction projects, That did not get passed. We are still moving forward with trying to respond to the legislative audit on the source capacity requirement and the peak day use. And so we have contacted several systems and asked them to voluntarily give us that data so that we can look at real life data before we make any adjustment to those regulations to make sure that we're protecting public health. We also have reached out. I know that called Mayor Friedall and just checked to see how things are going up in northern Utah. There's some flooding going on up in northern Utah. And
we didn't notice.
So we've reached out to that area just to make sure that the drinking water systems are doing okay. We have also pulled from our database a list of all the systems that have significant deficiencies that could be impacted from flooding. So we individually contacted everybody up in northern Utah that's currently dealing with flooding, but we've sent out a letter to all of the other systems on our list with significant deficiencies to remind them that if they were to have flooding occur in their area of the state, that that could be a potential problem, and to encourage them to get it fixed, let us know before that happens. We anticipate that Tremont and Garland, Box Elder County is not going to be our only area of flooding before this whole season is over. So we've done that. Just for your information, there's a trailer park in Fielding, Utah, that we have issued a do not use order for. We have found high levels of arsenic and nitrate in that system, high enough that we did not feel it was appropriate to let the residents continue to consume that water or even use that water. So we're working with M&J to help resolve that situation. We are looking at renegotiating and kind of redefining how we are handling the contracts with the local health departments to strengthen our partnership with them. So I will be meeting with all of the local health departments in the next few weeks to talk about their contracts and the services that they do for us and the contract that we have with them. And we are the first state in the nation to go live with CMDP. So that's Compliance Monitoring Data Portal. It's a software that EPA has been developing. We've been working extensively with them in that development, and we are the first state to go live with that. We are now receiving data from a certified laboratory in our state and have made that available for water systems to upload their compliance data electronically, which allows them to quality control that data rather than us re-enter that and us try to quality control that. So it's a huge step forward. I think it will ensure data quality much better and will allow the state to be more efficient. And so we're actually dealing with compliance and technical assistance and helping the systems rather than the extensive amount of time that we have data entering the information. We are also continuing to work with water quality on the harmful algal bloom guidance. I don't know if that's going to be a problem this year. We have plenty of water coming our way, and so I don't know if we'll be having any events, but we're working with water quality to make sure that drinking water needs are addressed in any response action that we're doing. And that's what I've been doing for the last month and a half.
Stay out of our way. Just no, that's marvelous. Good things to do and good things. Staff, thanks for supporting her and all of those as well. So any other items, Michael, that we can think of that we need to discuss for information from your point of view? Anything from the board members? Anything they wish to bring up at this time? Hearing none, I'll just make note that our next board meeting is scheduled for Friday, May 12th, 2 p.m. at the state offices in our normal conference room. This is 2. Do we want to go 1 o'clock?
I think we'll go to 1 o'clock, if that's okay. So we'll amend
the minutes to 1 o'clock. And I'll accept then a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Uh-huh. have tying motions. We're adjourned. Thank you.